Today on Real Life Radio.
Our God, when you just open the door of your heart of willingness toward Him, He just knocks the door down. He comes in, He brings in, rearranges the furniture, cleans up the house, tears up the carpet, puts in new flooring, changes the way the windows are, washes them up, fixes them up, changes your life. It's what He does. It's absolutely awesome.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's very special edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack and his message called A Psalm 150 Thanksgiving. In this intense and final psalm from the book of Psalms, we're told to praise God everywhere, expressing how awesome He is in a very loud and passionate way. The greatest truth about God is that He is worthy of our praise and that we were created to praise Him. Heaven and earth are to be a unified choir of praise. You see, praising God everywhere means there is no place that doesn't declare God's glory, to praise God for who He is and what He does. In our most difficult of situations, we are to praise Him. In 1620, the Pilgrims understood the power and the importance of praise and thanksgiving to God, even in the midst of trials, pain, and uncertainty. So today on this special Thanksgiving message, Pastor Jack tells us that Thanksgiving is a time of celebration. Psalm 150 tells us that the way to celebrate is to praise God loudly with trumpets and clashing cymbals, with strings and pipes, and with singing and dancing. But before we start today's message, here's a special note of encouragement from Pastor Jack.
Well, hey, everybody, Pastor Jack here, and I think I speak for you that in the days that we have all endured over the course of now almost 2 years, that we have become a people more thankful for the simple things, more thankful for family, more thankful for relationships, more thankful for health, more thankful for church, most importantly, more thankful for God and to know God. And so we're going to get into a message today that is all about Thanksgiving. It's all about giving God the praise and the honor and glory. And you know, friends, listen, Thanksgiving is a discipline. It's not a feeling. Thanksgiving is something that you and I decide to do. It's something that we begin to take stock as we look around and we see what good things, what things of grace God has given us, and we thank Him. And for some of us, we look around and we see some hardships and some illnesses perhaps, or some challenges, and we learn to give thanks. We thank Him in the midst of the difficult days. And so I look forward to this message. I look forward to the fact that we enter into a day of the year in America that is truly America's holy day, Thanksgiving. And now we celebrate a milestone as today marks the 400th anniversary of the Pilgrims' Thanksgiving. And I'm grateful for that. Four centuries, Americans have been celebrating the faithfulness of God. I hope that you do the same as well. So let's get into the message.
And now in his special message called A Psalm 150 Thanksgiving, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
The 150th Psalm on this Thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Verse 3 says, praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Verse 6 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is an intense psalm. You can tell that it's loud, it's passionate, and it flows right out of the heart and out of the mouth of one who is waiting and delighted to praise the Lord. Very quickly, worship and praise. You ever heard those two words used together? Worship and praise. Are they the same thing? Absolutely not. Interesting. Worship is something that can take place where, for example, You're standing at the edge of the Grand Canyon. You don't sing. You don't express anything. You stand there and an overwhelming awe strikes you of God's greatness. And just your awareness of that is absolutely an act of worship. When you study the Bible, did you know that Bible study is an act of worship to God? There are many manifestations of worship. And certainly when we gather together, there's an element of worship when we come together. But praise is something that is very expressive. Praise is loud. Praise is enthusiastic. Praise is something that is powerful to spread through the ranks of God's people. Where praise breaks forth, praise is very, very evident in times of revival. When revival breaks out, there are records of praise taking place where people supernaturally, as it were, prompted by God, praise him for what he has just done. Let everything that has breath is how it ends. Yeah, praise the Lord. Well, I thank God, as you do, that God is on his throne and that Jesus Christ and the world that you and I are living in is not the world that he not only had planned for us, hallelujah, it's not the world that he has planned for us, because there's a day coming when the Lord will set things right. But we need to be strong and we need to be thankful and we need to nurture that. All of us in our lives need to determine to be thankful and to be a people that praise him in the most difficult situations. I want to run through this. In Psalm 150, verse 1, it says, praise the Lord. The word praise right here is God's word telling us to shine. The Hebrew word means to shine. It means to flash or to boast. That's an interesting statement. Boast? Yeah, there's a boasting in the Lord and there's a boasting of God when it comes to praise. Praise the Lord. It means to shout forth and to put forward or to put out in public your expression of God. It means that when we come together, we worship God expressively. Now, I know that this is a church where there's all kinds of denominations represented in our Bible studies, and that's beautiful. It's a little bit of heaven, in my opinion. All kinds of ethnicities and economic levels and races represented in this church, sample of heaven. But there's a few things that bring us together, and we're all, as humans, redeemed by God to be the same, sort of the same, and that is worship and praise. And I know that many of you, how you've been brought up, people next to you will raise your hand in singing and worship, and you're a little nervous about that. It's like, what is going on there? And yet it's a biblical thing. And we need to be not distracting and not odd or strange about worshiping God, but there needs to be some passion. And I thank God for you and your passion. And that's biblical. That's a Bible word, that when we praise him, that we are expressing the great hallels of God, the praises of God. And then in verse 1, it continues, it says, praise God in his sanctuary. And that word sanctuary, we often think of the word sanctuary as a building. And it can be, but it's really a sanctuary only when you show up, right? You do know that, that if we have church on the side of a hill, it's not a church until you show up. Why is that so? When it says praise God in his sanctuary, the word is praise him where he's been set apart. A person, place, or thing that has been consecrated. A person, place, or thing that is holy, sanctified, dedicated. A prepared place. A prepared person or a prepared thing. So it can be this building when we show up. It simply becomes a vehicle where we are praising God. In my life, in my body, my physical body, we determine. So when it says praise him in the sanctuary or his sanctuary, I like to leave the interpretation of that a little open. Praise him in his sanctuary. It can certainly be this building. It can be your house. It can be your car. It certainly is your body, isn't it? And I'm thankful that when God saves us and redeems us, I'm thankful that he takes all of us. C.S. Lewis warns every non-believer who's thinking about coming to Christ. He says, watch out, because if you give God an inch, he'll take a mile. He says, if you give him an ounce, he'll take a pound. I like that. Our God, when you open, listen, when you just open the door of your heart of willingness toward him, he just knocks the door down. He comes in, he brings in, rearranges the furniture, cleans up the house, tears up the carpet, puts in new flooring, changes the way the windows are, washes them up, fixes them up, changes your life. It's what he does. It's absolutely awesome. And I'm grateful. I'm thankful to God for that. And so I want to praise him in my sanctuary, my body. And then he says in verse 1, praise him in his mighty firmament. I like this. Firmament. The word means sky, starry sky. The word means from the surface of the horizon up towards the heaven's expanse. Whatever the human eye can see at ground level up. It means the atmosphere. It means up into the heavens or the visible heavens. What an awesome thing that is. What a meaning. Praise him in his mighty firmament. What does that mean? It says praise him in that firmament that's his. How does that happen? If I were an astronaut, I would make sure I have that verse maybe written on my helmet. What does it mean? Praise him in his starry firmament. It certainly means, as that Hebrew word says, from the ground up. So you and I praise him in our immediate atmosphere, do we not? But isn't it interesting that when you and I pray, when you and I worship and praise, or we know from the Bible, when a sinner is forgiven of their sins and they become a believer, does anybody know what happens in heaven? When we pray, praise, worship, and someone accepts Christ, what happens? Angels rejoice in heaven. And when we pray, we can be right now at Pacific time, West Coast, but when we pray, it's instantly heaven time. That prayer goes instantly to heaven. That's an amazing thought if you think about it. You can actually connect with heaven in your thoughts, prayer, praise, worship, salvation. That's worshiping him, praising him in his mighty firmament, the starry heavens above. Verse 2 tells us that praise him for his mighty acts. I thank God for his mighty acts, even in the midst of all the stuff that's going on in our world. As painful as it is, sicknesses come and go. This world is sold, the Bible says, under sin. Think about that. This world, everything that you and I hate about this world, God hates. Think about that. Murder, abuse, pain, sickness, sorrow. God hates that stuff. A lot of people today want to blame God because the world is so messed up. Excuse me? Read his book. He turns that finger around that you're pointing at his nose and he points it right at you. Points it at me. Our mom and dad, Adam and Eve, did this. He said, yeah, we need to get them. We need to bring them in here. Listen, remember, they were perfect and they sinned. You and I would have done the exact same thing. I think that's somewhat what Jesus meant when he said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone in that setting. Think about it. There's only one who can throw stones. And I thank God he hasn't thrown any stones because he's the only one who could. My goodness. I praise him for his mighty acts. The word here, mighty acts, the word in Hebrew means strength, mighty power, awesome deeds, and his interventions, plural. God steps in and exposes things. God steps in and shows things. As a church, I mentioned this recently, we need to figure out how to do this. How do we take a field trip, all of us? Is it something that we just do independently, one family at a time, or do we just actually organize something? Wouldn't it be insane if we packed up, so to speak, and went out to Joshua Tree National Monument and got out there? You go out there and there's no lights and you see the stars at the horizon, all the way over to the other side. And you would have to say, great and mighty are your works, O God. Those kinds of things. The raging of the sea, the ocean. Have you ever been, I know it's Southern California, but we do have some big mountains and sometimes it snows. Have you ever been in a good snowstorm? Have you noticed one of the attributes of a snowstorm is quite shocking. When it's really still and it's snowing, or after a snow and you step outside, you know what shocks you in an instant? Is the silence. Did you know that when it snows, it's very, very hard to hear anything? because the snowflakes absorb all the surrounding ambient sound waves. Snow is what's known as a dampener. It just captures the wave, and it's quiet, and there's a hush, and you praise God. The Bible says, praise him according to his excellent greatness. That word, excellent greatness, is a compound word. The word first part of it, excellent, is rab, and it means much, many, great, abounding, numerous, plentiful. Of what? Of gadal. That means unfolding, ongoing. Listen to this. Advancing, becoming, magnificence, flowing, happening. His greatness. God's greatness is unfolding. I think that's a little hint about eternity. We're not going to be in heaven and after about 1,000 years say, man, I don't know about you, but I think I've seen this street before. No way. Listen, his eternity and his glory is going to keep unfolding every day, but the Bible tells us it's the day of God. Eternity is one day, timeless, forever. Remarkable. And we're going to see his excellent greatness. Then the Bible tells us, verse 3 here, that praise him with the sound of the trumpet. What about you in your moment of exuberance? I can't believe that word just came out of my mouth. Exuberance. That's one of John Adams' favorite words, exuberance. He wrote that word a lot. Exuberance. So what does that word mean? Absolutely enthusiastic, joy expressed. Our God is awesome. Have you forgotten that you're going to heaven? Listen, those of you who are born-again believers, your name is written down in heaven, you know it. This is as close to hell as we'll ever get right here in this world. Listen, for some people who don't know Christ, this is the closest they'll ever get to heaven. I'm glad that your future in Christ is bright. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. The word sound of the trumpet, sound is to blast and to blow, to drive with force. Verse 3 says, praise him with the lute and the harp. Listen to all these instruments now, the lute and the harp. Verse 4 says, praise him with the timbrel and dance. Verse 4 goes on to say, praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. And then he says, praise him with clashing cymbals. If loud wasn't enough, God says, do some clashing. What is that? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, he says. And you think about that. Listen, it happens. It's just the way it is. It happens, I'm sure, in every church. It happens every so often, very often, actually, when someone will say, Pastor, we're new here. Love it. We're just wondering, are the drums always on the stage? No, I'm serious. Or do you have, we enjoyed our time today, but are there any services that do not have instruments? No, we don't have that. And every time, people, I'll cite Psalm 150 every time. I think we should break out the lutes, the harps, the timbrels, the dance, the stringed instruments, the flutes, the loud cymbals, and then the clashing cymbals. I don't know about you, but clashing cymbals, those are the things you might see at the Hollywood Bowl when the guy goes like that and it scares you and your popcorn goes everywhere. That's scary, but God goes, I like it. God likes it. Does that offend you? You know the Bible tells you in Zephaniah that when you and I are in heaven, that the Lord, it says in Zephaniah that the Lord will come to us and he will sing. So I want to ask you, what do you think God's voice sounds like? And it says that he will twirl. The word in Hebrew is to twirl about or to spin about you. Does that sound irreverent to you? I got to tell you, that's a big deal. That's a tough one. Because don't you view God sometimes as this sterile white silhouette? And I understand the glory of all of that. I get it. I agree. But that's not accurate. Because when this is all over and we're in heaven with him, it's family time. Judgment will have been over. The earth is no more as we know it. God's on his throne and he walks among his people and they are redeemed. And Zephaniah says, he's going to sing. When he sees, he's going to sing and he's going to twirl about you with rejoicing. That God is going to say, Jack, you made it. Wow, how are we going to relate to him? How is it that Moses, God says, I speak to Moses like a man speaks to his friend face to face. Listen, we're gonna see and feel and experience more than that. And then he ends by saying, praise the Lord. Powerful. We're going to celebrate the 400th Thanksgiving of this experiment called America. That's pretty amazing, you guys. You should be thankful for that. 400 years. 400 years. I'm going to ask you, you guys take a look at this image of the Mayflower Compact. Listen to this. Just the other day on November 11th, 400 years ago on November 11th, before the pilgrims and the investors of the Virginia Company stepped off the Mayflower ship onto Plymouth, or what would become Plymouth, the Christians on board crafted a governing document. It was the forerunner to the Declaration of Independence. It's technically our nation's actual birth certificate. And here it is. And by the way, any of you who have been molested by college or university doctrines that America is not a Christian nation, I want you to listen. Real subtle how it begins. In the name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten, the loyal subject of our dread sovereign Lord, King James, by the grace of God, of Great Britain, France, Ireland, King, defender of the faith, etc., having undertaken for the glory of God and to the advancement of the Christian faith and honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia. They thought they were in Virginia. Do by these present solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid, that by virtue hereafter to enact, constitute and frame such just and equal laws, ordinance, acts, constitutions, and offices from time to time shall be thought most meet and convenient for the general good of the colony, unto which we promise all due submission and obedience. In witness thereof, we have hereunder subscribed our names at Cape Cod, the 11th of November, in the year of the reign of our sovereign Lord King James of England, France, Ireland, the 18th, and of Scotland, the 54th, Anno Dom 1620. And then they all signed it. And from that statement, from those few paragraphs, became the structure of all laws that came into being in what is now called the United States, from that one piece of paper. We need to give him thanks and praise and worship, because we among all people on earth should be so thankful. Because listen, watch out. We could be suckered into all the bad news. We can be programmed by bad news. I'm encouraging you now in this day and age to just turn it off, to open up the Word of God, and to become disciplined worshipers and praisers of him for his marvelous, wonderful benefits.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his special message called A Psalm 150 Thanksgiving. Thanks for listening today. For over 400 years, America has celebrated Thanksgiving. Isn't that great? Let God be praised everywhere we are with everything we have because of everything he is. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.